Okay. All right, I'm back again. Why is this? Well, I'm like, do y'all see this struggle that I got going on? Wait a minute, is that it? No. It's the last problem I had before. That's not it either. I don't even know what stream y'all are with. Am I still on here? Maybe I'm still on. I don't know. I guess I am. How my ass still on here? I'm about to take this shit off again. This shit is tripping, bro.
Damn.
You're going to figure it out, though. Oh, there I go. All right, we back again from the technical difficulties, man. Listen, guys. Like I said, I am... Yeah, you need a whole new window. Yeah, I don't know why that I was having so much problems with that. Well, these are the growing pains. All right, we back again. Pardon those growing pains, guys. We're back. I'm trying, guys. Y'all gotta realize I'm the producer, director. I am talent. So when y'all see me fucking up on here, this is getting it out of the mud. This is what people talk about. Most people, you know, when you're doing shit like this, most people get frustrated. They give up, throw in the towel. But with practice, I will only get better. So I want to talk about Walmart and the pharmacists. So this is dear to my heart, and this is very, very sad. Shout out to all my pharmacist friends that are out there in the world. It's very, very unfortunate that Walmart wants to do this. Walmart wants to cut pharmacists' pay. I was while the workload piles up. The cuts, which haven't been previously reported, aimed at pharmacists' higher wage brackets, but shoppers lining up to buy weight loss drugs to drag on profits despite their higher price. They got a $3.1 billion opioid settlement that they have to pay. And they want to get pharmacists to voluntarily reduce their pay. I want to tell anybody, if you know a child that's interested in becoming a pharmacist, it's very important that you tell them don't do that shit. I know it's cute that they have their doctorate and all that shit, and this is coming from a pharmacist, so don't call me no hater. I've done this. I've walked this. I've been through this shit, so hopefully you won't have to go through it. What is happening is, in the world of pharmacy, what's happened is pharmacies get reimbursed through what's called a pharmacy benefits manager. Okay? The pharmacy benefits manager will be like a middleman. It's your insurance company. It's your insurance company going to, you know, the manufacturers of these drugs And they're kind of bidding a price for the patient, supposedly, on your behalf. And these pharmacies buy these medications, and what ends up happening is a lot of times with a lot of brand name medications, they're reimbursed for lower than they actually paid for the drug. I don't know why this shit is legal. I don't know why it works this way, but this is how it works. Ever since the new healthcare mandate and the updated healthcare shit, this is what has happened. So you're seeing a lot of independent pharmacies close. You're seeing pharmacists that are working, insane hours with minimal help and support. And they have to work this way because the reimbursements on these drugs are so low. And these things that they call a DIR fee, which is a direct remuneration fee that these PBMs just put on top of the price of the drug. So not only do they reimburse you less money, they come back like at the end of the year, anytime they feel like it, and they put like a fucking clawback fee on the drug. So a lot of these pharmacies could end up on $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 at the end of the year, and there's no way for them to process those fees at checkout. So what's end up happening, as in all of healthcare, is you have healthcare professionals, your pharmacist, your physician, your surgeon, and you have all these people that have gone to school. They've done the right thing. They've worked their asses off. They've taken a hard test. They've jumped through all the hoops of fire. And for the most part, 90% of healthcare professionals have been completely fucking brainwashed to be great slaves. Okay? Now, as a former healthcare professional, I have to speak on this. Now, this is very, very dear to my heart. So in pharmacy school and medical school, they train you to do your job. They don't teach you the profitability on the back. They don't teach you to be an owner. They don't teach you any entrepreneurial skills. And when you come out as a pharmacist or a doctor, in society, you primarily get a pat on the back. Oh, that's good. You got a good job. You a physician, or you a pharmacist, or you this, or you that, and you making six figures. Oh, that shit. But it's not. It's not what it's fucking cracked up to be. Because once you get into the system and you see how these pressures build up, and you see you don't have support, a lot of you go to your doctor now. You go get a physical. That doctor can't be in that. He can't be in the room with you no longer than 7 to 8 minutes. If he's over that time, he loses money. This is what's happening. So you can have some major shit going on. You could be dying. All right. All he's gonna do is come tell you to raise your right arm, raise your left arm, do a cough, and he has to get the fuck out of there to go service the other 800 patients that he has. So what the healthcare system in America has come is a cattle system where we the people are the cattle and the practitioners, and we're just being shuffled through. And what's happening, you have the suits, such as the insurance company, that sit in these offices and make the money. And they are the ones telling you guys what's best for you, even though every human body is unique. There's certain drugs that work better for one person that won't work better for the other person. There's certain generics that'll work better for some people, but one person might really need the brand name for whatever reason, absorption rates, how it goes in the body. But the insurer says, no, we gotta make this fucking money. So, Miss Mary, you get this shit medicine. Okay? And the doctors have no say so. The doctors, pharmacists, most people in the healthcare system are at the will of the insurance company. And the insurance company's job is to make as much fucking profit as possible. Now, what has happened, unfortunately, I know that Obamacare should have been a good thing, but with so much heavy legislature, you know, when they pass a bill, the bill is 7,000 pages long because they sneak shit in the bills to get past the people. And what has happened, the whole healthcare system now is ravaged because nobody can be excluded from the system. So nobody can be excluded. These insurers will still move goalposts to be profitable. So if they got to take a patient in that has a full-blown disease and is dying, that patient is in a high-risk pool. Well, they're going to pull that money from the healthy people. You that are healthy, we're going to tax the fuck out of you. And that's why typically, even when you go to the doctor now, your insurer is providing you nothing more than a discount. That's it. If you look at those statements, it'll say like what Blue Cross Blue Shield is sending you a statement saying, well, the service costs $35,000. But since you were Blue Cross Blue Shield, we've discounted it to $5,000. So they discount that shit. Now, mind you, you've already paid into the system, you and your employer, $20,000 to $25,000. Now they just discounting that shit. They're not paying out anything. That copay that you're paying is going right back to your physician. And it goes on and on. And they put all the pressures and shit on the doctors, the pharmacists, because we're all licensed professionals. So if there's any mistake made, it's no fault of theirs. It's the fault of the practitioner. You fucked up. Okay? You fucked up. Not us. Not us for withholding the money and not providing these practitioners proper support. It's you. So this is capitalism 101 in America. And this is greed. And this, unfortunately, is what's happening in our healthcare systems. And that's why the shit is breaking down. And that's why Walmart wants to give the pharmacists less pay. And they're saying that it's a shortage of pharmacists, which I don't believe. I think they're running with this narrative because they want to keep reducing hours, getting rid of pharmacists, and then they're going to pay some fuck up in Washington a bunch of money so then they can pass some legislation where the pharmacy is ran primarily by technicians or robots, and you probably got just one pharmacist over 1,000 pharmacies, and the artificial intelligence, they help them verify. And you people and us will just continuously get sicker and fucking sicker, and they'll get richer and richer. This is what I'm talking about in the system, the diversion that's going on. You got people fighting over bullshit. They throw the race bait diversion at you to keep your eyes off the prize. When it comes to money and elitism, elites are of all colors, all races. Now, there might be more whites in there, but we're still coming up. And a black elite don't give a fuck about your poor ass, just like the white one. So we have to learn to read between the lines here, okay? Read between the fucking lines. The motherfucker at the dollar store that shot those black people is no different than the nigga at the hood that shot 3 black people. Trust me. They throw this shit out to divert you from what's really going on. And what's really going on is the middle class is being eroded, the rich are getting richer, and we're all getting poorer. And this is what's happening. And so the elites, they're sitting up eating steak and lobster. And as your belly is to your fucking back, they say, hey, we need to divert them. Let's throw out some racial shit. Let's get their mind off of it. Let's get them back in fighting again. This is what's happening. And nobody seems to know. Nobody seems to pay any attention to this shit. And I just be reading between the fucking lines. And often when I read between those lines and I speak out on certain issues, I'm immediately dismissed and I'm labeled a coon. But this is what's happening. This shit is rich versus poor. Classism is here. Classism is accepted. Right? When you get on that plane and you walk your poor ass to the coach, you accept that. You don't fight. You don't say, hey, I identify as a first class passenger. No, you walk your ass to the back. Because if you don't, there's going to be some cops to pull up and they're going to drag your ass off the plane. And you'll be on Greyhound the rest of your life. This is where we're at. And for people not to look at this shit and understand it, it drives me insane. So, yes, Walmart wants to reduce the pharmacist's pay. They want to cut their hours. You can't find technicians. None of that shit. They just want to reduce it because they bleed money. And I'm guessing with the weight loss drug, Wegovy, Mounjaro, which are these, what they call GLP-1 agonist, which basically is a special term for they just trigger your body not to be hungry. They've identified some hormones in the intestine, which they stop, and your satiety centers are suppressed, and you just go without fucking eating. And this is what's happening. Now I looked at the mechanism of action and shit with them. I just forgot how they go once I haven't read up on them in a while. But this is what's happening. And also, too, we're experiencing a teacher shortage as well. They're not enough teachers. They're not enough. Right now in America, they're not enough teachers and they're not enough police. But the media is not talking about this shit, especially when it comes to cops. There was one city where the whole police force resigned immediately. Everybody fucking quit. Well, there was none but a chief left. They didn't even talk about this shit for real in the media. It just came by as a blip. But what's happening? What are we leading to? We're leading to lawlessness, disorder, possibly civil war. This is where all this shit is going. There's no other place for it to head. And you would think that most people, you know, wouldn't want to go to war because we live such comfortable lives, you know, like right now. So you don't want to sacrifice, like, you know what I'm saying? Like just chilling with your phone and burying your head in movies and podcasts and watching me do side-by-side videos or comedy shows, which I will be at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. You would think that, but the rate at which we're going, like it's looking bad. No teachers? So you're gonna get to a point where people are gonna have to like literally pay a teacher out of your pocket for a child or whatever. Or we get to a point where you homeschool, or maybe we could log in or something. And one teacher, you had like this one excellent teacher that can teach millions of children online, and maybe they should be rewarded. Right, like, or maybe that's how I think maybe we should change the system. You just change the system so the kids come in, you have like a security guard or something in there, and the best teachers win. Meaning, they all teach virtually, right? And kids can show up. You can keep the classroom size relatively small, and these teachers show up virtually. Just the best teachers win. And then you could use capitalism in that socialist system, such as teachers and doctors and fucking, where they set all the prices, the bus drivers, the firemen. These are socialist systems in this so-called capitalistic world. I don't know what, I don't know. I get off. Some shit just gets me fucking up and going. Some things I talk about, I get super passionate. But check me out September 29th and 30th at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. Also, too, this was really, really interesting to me. I was looking at this post, and I want to show you something, too, about the erosion of the middle class. So I was looking at this post. The median salary in the year 2000 was $42,148 a year. A median salary in 2022 was $56,420 for the year, a 33% increase in median salary. The median home price in the year 2000 was $119,600. The median home price in 2023 is $392,000, a 328% increase. So they're prepping the world to where everybody will own nothing and be happy. And you'll have the elites just getting fat and boom. We in the fucking Matrix, man. It just sucking off you, everybody, everything for fucking rent. So you really, they want to get it to where you're working to live. You're working to survive. Point blank, period. And I know a lot of people work that way now, but they want everybody in that shit because they want control. They want to be able to control. And then they talking about bringing back the COVID mandates and the mask. Yo, really? Really? Like, y'all just gonna pull that shit back out of your ass and I guess everybody will get in line. Is that really what we want? Like, how will they pull that off? I just don't see people just masking up again. You know, I took my son to the pediatrician and that shit even pissed me off about her office. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Why are you having people still mask up, man? Let it go. Let it go. Because when you talk about the human body and the human body making its own, you know, we have an immune system, meaning I touch the dirty ball, my body makes antibodies to fight, you know, any infection to make another dirty ball. When I touch another dirty ball, this is what happens. This is how babies build their immune system. They touch and shit. The more shit they touch, the more their immune system builds antibodies to help to protect them. So for some reason, even though people no longer seem to be dying from AIDS, HIV, Ebola disappeared, for some fucking reason, this COVID or whatever is just, you can't, it's not, there's nothing you can do. You gotta get it. You gotta keep getting the shot. I don't know who's getting rich off of it, but we gotta keep in line. We gotta keep feeding these pharmacies that are closing hours. You see what I'm saying? This is where we at right now, man. So I don't know, guys. I don't know. Also, I was listening to a podcast, and this is about the third or fourth time I heard this, man. Like, I'm a Tupac fan, right? And I remember Pac. Like when he was in Digital Underground. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was down with the underground, all that shit. And then I remember when Juice came out, right? And I remember Pac after Juice was a different person. Pac became Bishop, and he stayed Bishop forever. Now, as black people, we understand that a lot of these movies have a big effect on us, man. Like, a big effect. You know what I'm saying? You talk about Scarface, you know, Community got flooded with drugs. Roots, you know, Roots. My goodness, that was another horrific movie. I guess, you know, Truth was there, but we get real, like, emotional when it comes to these films. You used to leave a theater, you watch a karate movie, you think you the karate man. I think that Pac, and this was the second or third interview I heard, and I think it was Fab Five Freddy was on The Breakfast Club, and he said that, look, man, once Pac came out of that theater and watched himself as Bishop, he stayed in character. I 100% believe that. This is a man who went to the school of Juilliard, amazing actor, amazing poet, amazing lyricist. And what happened, you know, especially back in the 90s, every nigga had to be tough, street, and gangster. And we just bought into it, man. We bought into that shit for a minute. And now I think we're waking up from it. I do think we're getting away from it. You know, Charleston White is kicking ass out here. He's 3-0 with these tough gang members. And just a lot of people that are like, yo, a lot of black people are like, I will call the police on your ass now. We're not going to tolerate the gang mantra. Or, you know, a lot of black people just like, nigga, I don't want to be your friend. I don't care if you don't accept me. There are going to be consequences to your action. This is what's happening. But I do believe that Pac was that man. The Hughes brothers say, the Hughes brothers, who I believe they filmed Juice or something. I could be wrong. But they said they was in the movie house. And Pac watched himself on screen. They was in a private little theater. They said, man, that man looked at himself in that character and never came out. And I 100%. Believe that shit. I believe that shit, man. I believe that shit with all my heart. I've seen this guy talk. I've seen interviews for fame. And I believe it, man. I believe it. Because you can run with it. You can run with it. And that's how, like, now I think we, as black people, we have to keep our eyes open. You know what I'm saying? With all these niggas talking about, do this in the name of black. I got a business for you. Let me show you. Let me teach you this. And all it turns out to be a scam. All that real estate shit and these niggas lying and wearing dashikis and writing shit on whiteboards and shit. And then, you know, you look up in a year or two, it's a scam. And our people have lost some money. So I would just say, keep your eyes open, man. Keep your eyes open. Don't let these motherfuckers fool you with the bullshit. Okay? And I think that is it. I think I done covered everything I want. Oh, man, you know what I want to talk about? Did y'all hear about this Nigerian man that scammed, sold an airport that wasn't even there for like $300 million? Let me see. Y'all got to see this, man. This is insane. What an incredible story. This guy, first of all, I don't know if y'all seen that show. All right, let me pull this up. Last month, oh yeah. Wow. So Emmanuel Wude, I guess the N is silent. The man who sold a fake airport to an international bank in one of the biggest frauds in history. This is the brother. This is insane. He sold a fake airport. Bruh. They need to do a movie about him. Just like they did that damn movie about that white boy that was end up faking everybody out. They need to do a movie about this guy right here. Emmanuel Nwude. I guess he's a Nigerian man. There have been frauds in history, but selling an airport to an international client without physical sightseeing for verification and legitimacy of the deal is bizarre. Emmanuel Nwude Odingwe, famously known as Owele of Abagna, one of the greatest frauds in banking industry, scams the third largest in banking industry in the world. And Wude is regarded as one of the smartest criminals in history. This man deserves a film about him. The banking frauds had a step ahead and Wude started looting an Iraqi central bank by Hussein and Nick leasing trading loans at Barron's Bank. Okay, so Emmanuel, top-notch fraud of $242 million. Nelson Sakaguchi, director of Brazil's Banco in Sao Paulo, was a victim of Nwude's gimmicks. To perpetuate this huge crime, Wude needed to appear in the robe of an influential Nigerian. The easiest personality he could wear at the time was that of Paul Aguama, the governor of Central Bank of Nigeria. Personality was easy for New Day to wear because he was the director of Union Bank of Jerry then, so mere personality of anybody would come in a handful. Damn. Now, aside from wearing this guy's personality, what would they need other kinds to facilitate the frost? We employed the expertise of Emmanuel Ofule, Zerbe Okoli, Obom Osakwi, along with the husband and wife duo Christian Ikiwuche Anjimba and Amaki Anjepa for the smooth execution of the operation. Appearing in the figure of Paul Wilman, Nguyen convinced they to invest in a new airport in the nation's capital, Abuja, in exchange for a $10 million commission. Total deal was $242 million deal with $191 in cash and the remainder in the form of outstanding interest between 1995 and 1998. This is insane. This, in 1997, Banco Santander, a Spanish multinational financial services company, moved to take over Banco Nordeste Brazil while at a joint meeting to facilitate the takeover. A large vacuum was uncovered. The vacuum looked so massive that it was given a proper look. It was uncovered that a huge sum of funds was lying fallow in the Cayman Islands untouched. This fund is about 2/5 of the bank's total volume and half of its capital. This led to setup of a criminal investigation team in countries where the individuals involved are residents. The countries are Brazil, Britain, Nigeria, Switzerland, and the U.S. The newly constituted anti-graft agency, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, hunted New Day in Nigeria. Nelson Sakaguchi was arrested at JFK and offloaded and dispatched special stand trial to Charlene, setting up bank account there as part of the fraud. But to buffer the situation, damage growth, the Simonson and Cochran families who owned the Banco paid the $242 million. One would think that this should be enough to save the situation, but the bank collapsed in 2001. As for Nelson Sakaguchi, he was arrested and offloaded to Switzerland to stand trial. Wow. This is insane. This Nigerian man. Man, this Nigerian man swindled these people, made them pay for an airport that wasn't there. He don't need to go to jail. I think the monies, I don't know what they need to do, but this man is brilliant. Like, they need to sit down with him and try to figure out how he did this shit. And how stupid are people? How dumb are people, man? Where you spend $252 million for an airport you ain't never seen before. My goodness. You would think, you giving people too much, man. Like, I think we give people too much credit because you got to be dumb. Like, they should let them keep the money and everything for that. And they need to do a movie about them. What was the name of that movie? Anybody know the name of that movie where the white boy kept changing his ID? He was a doctor, he was a lawyer. What was the name of that damn movie? Was it Run Tell? What was the name of that movie? Can y'all tell me in the comments, please? I see you there, Muhammad. Appreciate you. Do y'all know the name of that movie? Was it Run That? Now y'all don't want to comment. Oh boy, y'all something else. Well, anyway, oh, Catch Me If You Can. Thank you, Naomi, Catch Me If You Can. This will be a epic ass Catch Me If You Can, because my goodness, man, they just not finding him. This shit took place in like 02, 03. He just disappeared. I wonder where he was laying up at. Insane. It's insane, y'all. This is wild. Oh man, Kim Kardashian, that new face job? What does the face look like now? They're not showing my new face on here. Let me see. Ooh, they saying Kim K look like the mask now. Oh, what y'all think?
Oh boy. I say Kim looking like the mask. I don't know. It's just, you know, I guess it's so much pressure, you know what I'm saying, to try to hold back the hands of Father Time. And I mean, you know, people get this stuff in their face and they just look stuck. I don't know. I go to dermatologists, but I think that's about as far as I'm going to go. I had to get some DMPs, but hell, they took it off, but I still got this scarring over here, so I don't know. Boy, that's rough, man. There's some people in LA and Hollywood that just look stuck. Like, they don't look human or some shit all the way, and you keep going. It just starts off as a little bit, and then you look up and you just, your whole mouth is froze. You can't move your eyebrows. You just sitting there and you really start looking like a monster. I don't know. It's very, very interesting. But I see you guys are checking out on me here. I guess this podcast hasn't been silly enough today. Maybe I need to do something to be more silly. Maybe changing my name to Puddle Fucking Foot or something. Or maybe wear a wig and
be like, what's up, bitch? Like, yeah.
And that'll give you more tickles. You know, you can't talk too real on here. But I think we're going to wrap this up. I'm glad I was able to get in here and do this. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. But that's the end of this show. So I will see you next time. And take care.